It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Tackling the controversies, engaging the culture, challenging the status quo, and taking your calls. Dr. Brown is the director of Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Call now at 866-34-TRUTH and get into the line of fire.
All right, we've got the elections coming up tomorrow, and from everything we can see, there's going to be a pretty massive shift. There's going to be a massive voting away from Democrats towards Republicans. What's driving it? What's the biggest factor? What are the biggest factors? What's behind this massive shift in our voting and potentially in our government in the next 24 hours? Michael Brown, welcome to The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. What's your opinion? What do you think are the biggest factors, the biggest reasons why we're having such a shift in the voting tomorrow from where we were just 2 years ago? You can also weigh in on Facebook. That's Ask Dr. Brown, our Facebook page, ASKDR Brown on Facebook. We will solicit your opinions. I'm going to give you a list of possible ideas and find out what you're thinking. And listen, I want you to be honest with me. I want you to tell me what you really think is causing this shift. I've also got some sad but very enlightening interaction to share with you from two men that were weighing in on our Facebook event page about our debate tonight, my debate with Rabbi Shmuley Boteach, what the Bible, I'm reading the wrong line here, is homosexuality America's greatest moral crisis? Some folks have weighed in online, and I got into some interaction with them. Very sad, but very enlightening, really enlightening. I'm going to share that with you. And that means that, not even four hours, back home, get in a nice suit, put together final notes, turn around with my wife Nancy, drive to the debate at Southern Evangelical Seminary with Rabbi Shmuley. And if you can't be there, if you're not in the greater Charlotte area, you can watch a live webcast tonight of the debate. Just click on AskDrBrown.org for information. All right, let me throw out a bunch of reasons. Bunch of potential reasons why there's such a shift in voting. But again, I want to hear your opinion, and I'll read some of the Facebook comments. Is it because people are just fed up with a bad economy? And it's always the economy, as Bill Clinton was campaigning and his media folks reminded him, it's the economy, stupid. Is it that simple? The bad economy, the bad economy continues, and people are fed up with it. They can feel it. They're hurting. They're upset. They want change. Is it just a total repudiation of the whole system, the way it's being run now, the Pelosi, Reid, Obama system, the way they're running things and feeling there's a strong arming of things through Congress, and now with the health care bill that there's just less and less freedoms for us and people are upset with that? Is it the influence of the right-wing news media? Is it the influence of the Rush Limbaughs and the Fox Newses? And they're getting in people's heads, and people are being influenced by that for better or for worse. Is it just that there's always got to be a scapegoat? Things were bad 2 years ago, so there's a vote against Republicans because that represents Bush and the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan that are dragging on. Now, 2 years later, things are worse, so is this going to be another backlash? I mean, we're talking about a very major shift, one of the more major shifts in our country's history. What are the reasons for? Is there a spiritual move? Is God awakening hearts? Is there a move towards a righteous revolution? And it's being reflected politically as well. Are there other things going on? I mean, be honest. What do you think is causing it? Are people being duped? Are people being deceived? And they can't recognize all the good that the current administration has done? I'll tell you one idea. You feel free to raise it. But one idea that I really don't think should even be discussed is that it's a race issue, because there is tremendous hostility towards white politicians in Congress. The white politicians have lower ratings than the president. And when white voters voted for the president, it wasn't a matter of race. It was a matter of that people believed in him or believed he was better than the Republican candidate, or they had it with the Republicans, or whatever it was, or just the economic sudden collapse in Wall Street right before the elections, perfect storm, whatever it was. There was high approval rating for our president, and it wasn't because of race. And the low approval ratings now are not because of race. And the fact is, as I said, white members of Congress are far more unpopular than our black presidents. So to me, race has nothing to do with any of this. But there are definitely other factors. Could it be that people put so much hope in what Mr. Obama would do, almost looked at him as kind of like a savior figure, that he is going to help us and everything's going to change, and he was so eloquent and well-spoken, and young people in particular voted for him, and now they're disillusioned, disoriented, or they see more of the same, or people aren't intelligent enough to understand his greatness, and that's just, I'm curious to know what you think. And if you want to disagree with me on the race issue, that's perfectly fine. 866-34-TRUTH. What's your opinion? Why are we having such a dramatic shift in this electoral cycle? I know there's often a bit of a loss of seats in the two houses during an off year. You've got the presidential elections and the midterm elections. Sometimes there's a bit of a backlash against the current administration, but everyone recognizes there is a massive shift. There is a mandate. Or is it that people like the Republican message, that people really like the Republican candidates, that people believe in the Republicans now, and that's why they're shifting? It's interesting. I'm looking at a lot of comments that have come in on Facebook so far, and I'm actually not seeing that it's a pro-Republican mandate, although some of you may feel that is the case. 866-34-TRUTH. Before I read comments, before I take your calls, all right, tonight's debate with Rabbi Shmuley is named "Is Homosexuality America's Greatest Moral Crisis?" It was a title for the debate that Rabbi Shmuley suggested. In fact, he suggested having the debate with me when he was here with me and we were debating the Messiahship of Jesus. And I said, I'd love to debate it. We had gotten into it once more briefly a few years ago. He had just written an editorial that had gone out in Wall Street Journal and Jerusalem Post. And based on that, his views, although we both agree that homosexual practice is sinful in God's sight, called an abomination in his sight, our take on many other issues is very different regarding this. I wasn't entirely happy with the title. I suggested homosexual activism. He said, look, what does he know about activism? We're debating this as religious scholars. And I said, well, that's really the major issue, is where it's going in terms of activism. So the title of the debate is stirring up a debate already, and I haven't even weighed in yet. He hasn't weighed in yet. But on our Facebook event page, where we've told folks if you're coming, please click that you're coming, just so we can have an idea of numbers for the webcast and for the in-person attendance, a fellow named Christopher posted this. You all need to review this site by Reverend Mel White before you make any decisions, and it's Soul Force, what the Bible says and doesn't say about homosexuality. It's terribly erroneous material, very poor interpretation of Scripture. Although my heart goes out to Mel White, he was a Fuller Seminary professor, he was a pastor, he was a ghostwriter for Jerry Falwell and Pat Robertson, and fighting all along with his homosexual attractions, went through exorcisms, went through shock treatment, I think, as well. I mean, you name it, went through it. Finally, he tried to slit his wrists, realized, okay, this is who I am. Embraced the fact that he believed God made him like that. He and his wife agreed to a divorce, and he then has lived with his partner ever since. So I immediately posted something, only because you've got other readers coming here looking at this, and I wanted to make sure that no one was deceived that didn't have any background in Scripture. So I posted for point refutation of the Soul Force position. See Thus and Such, it was a mini book by Stanton Jones, provost of Wheaton University, in terms of a point-for-point refutation of Mel White's. And then I said, for further comprehensive answers to the erroneous position that you can be a follower of Jesus and a practicing homosexual, see robgagnon.net, Rob Gagnon being the top biblical scholar dealing with issues of homosexuality. So Christopher then posts back, and he's college age, I think, judging by his bio. He posts back, is that so, Michael? Now, I have no problem being addressed as Michael. In fact, most people around the world through the years have known me as Michael, not as Dr. Brown. But it's always interesting when someone who doesn't know me and is young addresses me as Michael with apparent disrespect intended. He says, is that so, Michael? What about Matthew 19:12? Here is a quote by the strongly conservative and anti-gay doctor, and he puts doctor in quotes, even though he's a PhD and a respected New Testament scholar, he puts doctor in quotes. So you get an idea where Christopher's coming from. He said, what about the verse Matthew 19:12, where Jesus speaks who are people who were born eunuchs? And Gagnon says, this did include people homosexually inclined in the ancient world, which incidentally puts to the lie the orthopedic claim that the ancient world could not even conceive of persons that were congenitally influenced toward exclusive same-sex attraction. Based on which, he concludes Jesus is saying it's fine if you're born with same-sex attractions, it's fine then for you to be with another man. That's perfectly fine. That's what he's taking Jesus to mean. You got to hear the sad response once I correct it. We'll be back and we'll take your calls. Welcome back to the Line of Fire, Michael Brown. Thanks for joining us. Just a few hours to go before my debate with Rabbi Shmuley tonight. Hopefully you can make it to Southern Evangelical Seminary in the greater Charlotte area, or you can watch online. For info, go to askdrbrown.org. Again, we're asking today, as the elections are looming, just a few hours from now, people will be voting, why the massive shift? Why the giant shift that apparently is about to happen from Democrat to Republican? It's a seismic shift, regardless of how it actually plays out. What's causing it? What are the reasons for it? Is it people love the Republican platform? Is it people hate the Democratic platform? Is it that people are upset with the president? Is it they're upset with the economy? Is there something deeper going on? Would it matter who's in office as long as things are in the current situation they're in? There'd be a vote against them. Is it a feeling of restriction of freedoms? What do you think it is? I want to finish reading this interaction I had with this fellow Christopher online, who's professing to be a gay Christian. But before I do that, let me grab one call. Sandy in Raleigh, what do you think is causing the massive shift?
Hello?
Hello, you're on the air.
Oh, hi. Well, my concern is it seems like Obama is just trying to enlarge the government to take over so many aspects of our lives. It kind of scares me. I mean, this medical thing is I forget the percentage, but it's a huge percentage of our economy. And he wants to take that over. And then this stuff with the banks and the credit cards and the auto bailout, it just seems like he's getting the country into so much debt that, you know, we're going to be in a position where the only place, you know, we're going to almost become socialistic. And it's kind of taking away who we are as a country. You know, we're supposed to be these rugged individualists who, you know, stand on our own 2 feet. And it's just like he wants to be the big daddy and we're all the little stupid kids. And that kind of scares me. I don't need him to be a daddy. I need him to just do what a president was supposed to do, and that is regulate things having to do with other countries, not every little aspect of my life.
Now, Sandy, I'm sure that you're speaking for lots of people who feel that government's taking over, who feel that we're going in a direction that seems socialistic. Is this a common feeling among a lot of your friends as well?
Yeah. It just scares me. It just, you know, it just seems like he's purposely trying to get us so dependent. Like little kids. And it's just, I don't want to be taken care of like that. I personally am struggling really hard with taking care of my medical bills. And I'm a really healthy person. Mm-hmm. And I have to spend like $800 a month on medical expenses. And I don't have a job. But still, I don't want this medical stuff. I don't want some bureaucrat deciding whether or not I'm allowed to have a certain treatment. You know, I'm 64 years old right now. And mm-hmm. I don't want Obama or somebody under him deciding my life, whether I can live or die or have a treatment or not have a treatment. You know, it's none of his business.
Got it. Hey, Sandy, thanks for weighing in so eloquently. It's clear which direction you're voting tomorrow. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
All right. Okay, do you agree with Sandy? Do you feel the same way that government's taking over, that she didn't use the word death panels, but there could even be these death panels? You know, someone, some government bureaucrat's going to decide, do you get a surgery for this or not? Do you get treatment for this? Is this something that you really feel this is hanging over us? This is serious. This is heavy. Or do you very much differ with her take? 866-34-TRUTH. Before I read some of your Facebook comments, let me get back to this discussion that I had online with Christopher. Again, this was the Facebook event page announcing my debate with Rabbi Shmuley on his homosexuality, America's greatest moral crisis. And Christopher claiming to be a gay Christian. I don't doubt his sincerity. I also don't doubt that he's deceived, and we need to pray for his liberation and salvation. So Christopher is arguing that according to Matthew 19:12, when Jesus talked about some who wouldn't marry because they were eunuchs from birth, or some were made eunuchs by men, some made a choice not to marry, others were eunuchs by birth. He's arguing that eunuchs by birth could include homosexuals. Now, here's what I wrote back to him. I said, look, the bottom line is, even if that's the case, if we include it in Jesus' statement that someone born a eunuch included a man with same-sex attraction, Jesus is saying that such a person must abstain from all sexual relations for life and give himself exclusively to God's kingdom. Not have sex with other men. Ugh. If the whole context there is that they don't marry, no, they don't sleep around with whoever they want to sleep around with, because either they have chosen to renounce sex for life, or they have been castrated by human beings so that they cannot perform sexually, or they were born with some genital defect, or if you want to even argue that included someone that developed same-sex attraction. Whatever the case is, Jesus is not saying, well, then you just, hey, boys, have fun, party on. But, you know, men that are, you know, with heterosexual inclinations, you know, then you have to renounce marriage for life and be celibate. But if you have same-sex attraction, hey, party on! What a horrific abuse of Scripture. So he then says, I pray to God daily, and he has not led me away from my wonderful life or has spoken to me in such a way that I feel like he doesn't want me to be gay. So, Michael, you are not God until God tells me it's wrong. I refuse to believe the lies. And for your information, you are misrepresenting Scripture. So I wrote back, Christopher, God has already spoken in his word, and he does not have to speak again. All sexual relations outside of male-female marriage, the only marriage God recognizes, are sinful and forbidden in his sight. You need to turn back to the word, humble yourself and confess your sin and receive mercy and forgiveness from the Father. He will empower you to live a holy life. As for me representing Scripture, please, Christopher, give me one example in any of my books or lectures where I do so and quoted some more Scripture. So what I found so sad and enlightening here, was this. Number one, he has to say he has this wonderful gay life and he's praying daily. Listen, I don't need to pray daily to find out if my relationship with my wife is fine or blessed. I don't need to ever ask that again. It's blessed by the word, and we're set apart to him. But this just shows the terrible insecurity he's dealing with because of what Scripture really says. All right, back to the phones. Michelle in Jacksonville, what's your take?
Forgive me, I'm going to say this up front. I have a little bit of a cold, so I'm having a hard time hearing, and my phone's staticky. First off, I wanted to mention about the health care.
Mm-hmm.
I feel as if this whole thing is like a communist issue. You know, it's we're supposed to be in a free country, and yet, you know, our freedom is really limited. Look at just if we go to buy a piece of property, we have to pay taxes on it. If we build a house on it, we have to, you know, get a permit, and then we have to pay even more taxes because we build a house on it. That's just a for instance. For a free country, you know, they just put so many limitations on things, and now they're doing this with our health care. And I work for a company right now that does audit. We audit different...
Hey, Michelle, let me just jump in. We're out of time, but healthcare, government intrusion, any other really major thing?
Any other major things I wanted to say?
Yeah, well, okay, tell you what. Hang on the line. We'll get you on the other side of the break. for joining us today on The Line of Fire. Just putting out some questions about the elections. We've got a major shift about to take place in our country. Question is, what's driving it? Why are people voting the way they're voting? There are multiple factors, multiple issues. Just getting your take today on The Line of Fire. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884, or weigh in on Facebook. Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook. Okay, Michelle, sorry to rush you right before the break, especially when your head is clouded with a cold.
That's okay. I'm going to make this as brief as possible so that I don't keep you tied up. I just want to say that I work for a health insurance company, and one of the things that I have to say is that we have put a HIPAA regulation in effect in 1996. How is it that we're going to have privacy with this HIPAA Act once the Obamacare and all that goes into effect? I think that's something that people need to look at as well. And then last but not least, I've been a Christian for a lot of years, and I can't think of the scripture right off my head. You'll have to help me with this, where Jesus said that he did not come to change the commandments. I can't think of the exact words.
Yeah, you're thinking of Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 to 20, where he says he didn't come to abolish the law or the prophets, but to fulfill.
Yes. And the only new commandment that he gave us was to love one another. So I can't see where he changed anything from the Old Testament to the New Testament regarding homosexuality and it being an abomination. I also think that homosexuality is a perversion of the mind, and I think that people that are experiencing this need to get serious help. And I've known some people who have gone and gotten help, and
it's
changed their life.
God. Hey, let me just jump in, Michelle. I appreciate that very much. I'm just need to stay focused on the election issue, but thanks for weighing in. And I also know people who've been transformed by the power of God that are no longer homosexual. Again, Jesus can do anything, but thanks for weighing in, Michelle. The reason that came up, if you just tuned in, is because of some interaction I've been reading from some folks online. I'm about to read something else that is very, very eye-opening and sad. So stick around, but back to the elections. Okay, I'm not sure where you're calling from because you're anonymous, but welcome to The Line of Fire. Thank you for calling.
Sure. Hi.
Hello.
Yes, hi. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. How about you?
I'm great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, I was calling in regards. I was calling in regards to the caller that called a little earlier concerning the health issues, the insurance. Well,
yes.
I disagree with that caller. I know that you said to call in if you agree or disagree.
Yes, please.
Well, I totally disagree, because I feel that with the health court. With the health reform that Obama has created is one of the best, well, is the best reform that we've had in America. And I feel also that if people do not want the health reform or the insurance, then I feel that they should just not take it instead of, you know, always criticizing him for trying to help us get health insurance. I think it's ridiculous.
So let me ask you a question.
That's my opinion.
Yeah, well, first, I appreciate you calling in to differ. That's why we're opening up the phone lines to hear what you folks are all thinking. I think everyone agrees that our healthcare system needs reform. I think everybody agrees we have problems one way or another. Although we have good medical care in America, we have people left out, we have ridiculously high costs. But what people are objecting to is what they feel is the government telling them what to do in a mandatory way. In other words, they can't opt out. A business can't opt out. An individual can't opt out. That's part of what they're objecting to. So would you rather see a way where people could opt out if they choose not to without being required to pay into the healthcare system?
Well, that could go either way. Yes, I do feel that they should be able to opt out in, you know, some type of form if they don't want it.
All right, so that would be modified. But listen, we all agree that there needs to be changes in healthcare, and
yes.
And the question is how to go about it. Obviously, some appreciate the way our president's done it; others don't. But I think the issue, though, is that a lot of Americans are concerned. They feel the government is getting their hands too much into our personal affairs. Do you feel that's the case, or do you feel the government is just trying to help us?
Well, I feel like they're just trying to help.
Got it. Hey, I appreciate the call, and I'm sure you speak for many others. Thanks so much for weighing in.
Thank you so much.
All right, you bet. 866-34-TRUTH. Let me grab one more call, probably on the other side of this issue, but I always want to encourage you to never feel intimidated to call in to differ with me personally or to differ with another caller, especially when I ask for it. No reason to frustrate. We may not be able to get to everybody's calls, but at least you can. Give it a try, and if you need to share your view, share your other perspective, we are all ears to hear it, all right? Vera in Chapel Hill, what's your take?
Hi, how are you doing?
Great, thanks.
I am basically calling similar to the last caller called in about. I want to make a comment on the 64-year-old lady that called from Raleigh.
Sure.
Vera Lindsay. I'm a Christian, and first and foremost a Christian. So because of that, a lot of my views tend to sway to the other side. About abortion and about marriage. But I do have a concern about the health care and a question, because I've heard this many times before from other people with the same perspective as the lady that called before. And basically, if I understand her comment or her question or concern, it was basically concerning the fact that she didn't want anyone to tell her whether she could receive care or not. Is that not the case?
Yeah, there are the issues of what she has to pay, and she obviously feels that with the new plan, she has to pay more. And then the other thing is that there are decisions that would be made by the government, because the government is over insurance, and ultimately the government could decide whether this person merits treatment when they're 94 years old, should they have surgery, or whether this person should get more medication or treatment for this or that, or whether it's not really going to work, and that they feel that government should not be making that decision. That's a decision between the individual and their physician.
Well, I agree wholeheartedly on that. But isn't this the same problem we've had all along with the insurance companies deciding whether or not we're going to continue to pay? Or what about the fact that if you have existing conditions, a lot of insurance companies, if you go to a new job, they won't take you on because you've
right.
had a pre-existing problem. So, I mean, we're still in the same boat to some degree.
Oh, yeah. Well, tell you what, I just got to jump in because we're up against a break. The existing conditions, I mean, I understand if you've got some lifelong thing and now another insurance company is obligated to take it on, that can be a challenge. But there's no question that the insurance company with the doctors is making a decision, and people have a problem with that. The bigger problem would be now when the government is now telling the insurance companies what to do. That's when it gets worse. So it would go from bad to worse in that view. But bless you, Vera. Appreciate you calling. Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire broadcast. We're talking about the elections as they're about to happen, just asking the questions, why? Why the massive shift? What is it that is causing people to go in the direction that they're going? And interestingly, a bunch of discussions so far about health care, and those that are upset over it feel the government is too intrusive, those that feel, hey, president's trying to help people, it's the best reform we've had in a while. Obviously, that would not be the major public opinion right now. But what's causing the shift in the vote? 866-34-TRUTH. Before I get back to your calls, I just want to read some very interesting interaction with a gentleman named David, who weighed in on the Facebook event page for my debate with Rabbi Shmuley tonight on homosexuality is America's greatest moral crisis. And there's a post, marriage equality. Can we talk about banning divorce? This is a gay activist website. Can we talk about banning divorce? Marriage equality, I should say, a page on Facebook. And then David weighs in, Deuteronomy 22:22, if a man is found sleeping with another man's wife, both the man who slept with her and the woman must die. And then he writes, heterosexuality, America's greatest moral crisis. So I posted in response, let's talk about it. With all your thinking and all your posts, because he posted elsewhere, I do hope you'll come ready to listen with an open heart and mind, and then ready to ask a good question in the Q&A time. Right? He's coming to the debate, he said. So that was my response. He said, let's not say we did. Sorry, but I will never allow my rights and self-worth to be the subject of anyone's debate. I wrote, David, perhaps God has something far more wonderful for you than you ever imagined, something far beyond anything that can be debated, and something far beyond an argument about sexuality. I pray you will come to experience the reality of God's transforming love. As for your specific post, my impression was that you started the dialogue here and were eager to continue it. I was simply opening the door to you. It remains open. He writes back, there's no difference between your views and Fred Phelps and his God Hates Fags followers, except that they have the guts to be honest about their bigotry. You, sorry, you, on the other hand, attempt to promote yourself as a loving man of God. You aren't. You're just another phony religious huckster willing to sell bigotry and ignorance to make a quick buck and get attention. And once you realize that homo bigotry isn't paying the bills anymore, you'll move on to other easy targets, Muslims, perhaps? To which I responded, David, seeing that every syllable about me in your previous post is erroneous, I'd assume that you're either hurting on the inside, just plain angry, totally misinformed, full of your own brand of bigotry, or all of the above. Either way, it would be my pleasure to sit down over lunch with you and partner to hear your hearts so you can explain to me why you feel the way you do. And again, I pray that the love of Jesus would flood your heart. He responds, I'll pass on the lunch too. For some reason, I suspect I'd get stuck with the check. As I said, your brand of homo bigotry is nowhere near as popular as it has been, as you well know. And before long, books with titles like A Queer Thing Happened to America won't sell, and you'll have to find a new racket. I have no doubt that you will. You know, the thing that's so remarkable, and Nancy and I always talk about this, where do they get the idea that first, people are doing this for money, second, people are getting rich off this, and by the way, when it comes to standing against homosexual activism, etc., when it comes to making this a focus of your ministry, as one colleague said to me, it's ministry suicide. If God doesn't support you, this is a massive financial drain, by the way. So I responded to him, David, I reach out to you in a civil manner. You reply with ugly rhetoric, and yet you can't see your own bigotry and intolerance. Again, your comments don't offend me in the least, but they're quite revealing. Lunch would have been on me, but if you decline, you decline. All the more you'll be in my prayers. He responds, you make money by promoting homo bigotry and by degrading gays and lesbians and suggesting that we are the cause of America's greatest moral crisis, and yet have the brazen audacity to accuse me of ugly rhetoric? Dr. Heal, myself, as I said, you're no different from Fred Phelps, only less honest. I responded, David, okay, we go back to square one. Back up one single syllable of one single charge you've made so far, otherwise admit you're simply speaking out of either ignorance, anger, or personal bigotry, for which, I repeat, I hold nothing against you, and I reach out to him yet once more. Then someone else named Jackie posts, laughing out loud, Dr. Brown making money, clearly you have no idea how little this man lives on and how much his ministry gives away. Dr. Brown doesn't even own his own home. He's been renting the same house for years. David, you should quit while you're ahead, etc. And I'd be happy to own my own house. Point of fact is we've been in a little rental for a few years now. Then an individual identifies as transgender or intersex. David Franks, you're wrong here. 99% of the time you'd be right. And I've got battle scars from fighting against various organizations, pro-family organizations. But this individual Zoe says, Dr. B is the real deal. So he writes back, poor Dr. Brown, I feel so sorry for you. You're a victim, aren't you? It's getting so you can't market homophobia anymore without some uppity gay coming along telling you how wrong that is. He goes along, finally identifies himself as an atheist, living a wonderful life. And I said, hey, listen, since you claim, he actually goes as far as to say that I am inciting violence against the homosexual community. He actually says that. I said, okay, one scintilla of proof for that, because anyone who knows me knows it's the exact opposite. You know what he wrote back? All right, here's the deal. It's the Bible. It's the Bible. So would you join me in praying for David that he'd really come to know the love of God, and for Christopher that he'd awaken from his deception of being a professing gay Christian, that the mercy of God can be poured out on these men? We'll be back.
Send the fire today.
Thank you so much for joining us today. Can I ask you to pray for the debate tonight with my friend Rabbi Shmuley, that the Lord would really use this to open hearts and minds, that through what both of us have to say, that there would be insight that comes to those that are watching the live webcast. Again, for information on how to do that, just go to askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org. You can't miss the banner on the homepage. If you click on that, it'll give you directions for the debate tonight. If you're anywhere in the greater Charlotte area, hey, come in person. You don't want to miss that. Yeah, make a U-turn. That's it. Make a U-turn. Not a legal. Sorry. Make a legal U-turn. Change plans. Get out tonight. Otherwise, watch the webcast. And pray that God would really use this. As I said, it's an important issue. It's a sensitive issue. It's a controversial issue. And my goal, and I believe Shmuley's goal as well, is not just to stir things up, but to have more light than heat. All right. We actually talked about something on the broadcast today for the very first time. You know what it was? For the very first time, we actually talked about something on the Line of Fire broadcast. You say a biblical subject? No. Mm-mm. The issue of race relations in the elections? No. The issue being Democrat, Republican? No. You know what we talked about for the very first time on the radio today? Healthcare. I don't remember ever bringing this up myself before. The issue of healthcare, what some disparagingly refer to as Obamacare. And if you notice, I allowed callers to speak their mind on this, and I didn't personally weigh in on this. I am very, very happy to weigh in on controversial issues and tell you exactly how I feel. I am very happy to lay out clearly what I believe is right and wrong and let the chips fall where they may. My goal in speaking the truth in love is not to get more listeners. My goal is to honor the Lord and to help God's people and to reach those who don't know him. So what's my view on the healthcare reform? I don't have an educated enough view worth adding. I'm uncomfortable with the way things have gone because of government intrusion. However, I recognize we need healthcare reform. And although it may be black and white to some of you, it may be clear as crystal to some of you, the fact is I have not researched it sufficiently to come to my own conclusions. So how's that? Why divide over a peripheral thing right now? Now, look, it may be super major. I may get flooded with emails of people, how could you not take a stand? And listen, because I haven't focused on it. Because I am not really strong in terms of economical issues and in terms of how things trickle down from the government to the populace as a whole. It's not my area of expertise. Is that okay? However, with the elections coming tomorrow, I do have a bottom line that I want to share with you at the end of the broadcast, and it is this. May I remind you, regardless of whether you identify as Republican, Democrat, Independent, or other, regardless of whether you love the current administration or loathe the current administration, regardless of whether you even vote tomorrow or not, although I would encourage you to vote as a responsible citizen, let me remind you that first and foremost, you are a citizen of God's kingdom if you are a follower of Jesus. That first and foremost, you are a member of God's family, which means that if, say, tomorrow I vote Republican and you vote Democrat and we are both followers of Jesus, we have far more that unites us than divides us. And I want to encourage you to do your best to sit down with those you differ with and to say with an open heart, open mind, share your views. Maybe I have a blind spot. If we both sat down and listened to each other, perhaps we could persuade the other. Perhaps we ourselves would be persuaded. Or bottom line, we could at least walk in greater love and respect towards one another, having heard one another out. So let us not divide over the elections. Let us give ourselves to the purposes of God. Let us vote according to our conscience and walk together as brothers and sisters.